Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus and his disciples had just finished feeding what we guess to be about 10,000 people, if you count the women and the children present at that meal. And it started 5 loaves, 2 fish. Somehow, everyone was satisfied. And immediately, Jesus puts his disciples, into a boat to go across the lake. He stayed behind. He was going to dismiss the crowds. And once the crowds dispersed, Jesus went up onto a mountain to pray. Then, Mark's gospel says, evening came. Evening, the beginning of a new day, if you reckon time like the Jewish people did, a new day. And as this new day began, the disciples are out on the waters, straining. And these were experienced fishermen. And they're fighting against the wind, against the waves. A whole night of it. Mark records that about the 4th watch of the night, which is about 3 to 6 in the morning, Jesus begins to go to them. He comes walking out on the sea. But then Mark records oddly that Jesus intends to pass by them. Why would Jesus do that? The Jesus you and I have come to know is a compassionate person. When he sees someone in need, he stops, he notices, he gets involved. Why would he pass by the disciples? Jesus wanted to show them something. And he wants to show you something, if we have the eyes to see it. To understand more of what's going on in this story, we have to look back to a story in Exodus 33 and 34. It's a story where Moses and God are speaking, once again, enjoying that privileged relationship. And one day, Moses asks God, he says, Lord, I want to see your glory. I want to see you as vividly as I can. I want to see you face to face. God replied to Moses, Moses, I will make my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim to you, Moses, my name, Yahweh. And I will be gracious. And I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. But, God said, Moses, you can't see my face. For a person shall not see me and live. Then the Lord God looked at Moses and said, Moses, look over there. There's a rock over there and it has a cleft in it. I want you to climb up onto that rock. And when my glory passes by, I'm going to put my hand over that rock. And then when I pass by, I'm going to remove my hand. And Moses, you will see my back, but not my face. I will cover you with my hand, the Lord said to Moses, as I pass by. God intended to pass by Moses. And what would Moses see? What would he experience? He would see a glimpse of what we might say where God used to be, almost in hindsight. For there's far too much of God for even Moses to take in, far too much of God for you and for me to absorb, to grasp. And those moments in our lives where we do feel like we've got God figured out and we grasp on so tight, those are the exact moments where we begin to manipulate God and pull the strings as if he is a marionette. He can't be controlled. He can't be possessed. And when we try, it destroys us. Our sinful nature cannot handle the fullness of God. And so God passes by Moses. And Moses saw a glimpse of God in motion. We return to the story of Jesus and the disciples. There they are, out straining on the lake, and Jesus intends to pass them by. It seems as though Jesus wanted his disciples to have a glimpse of the fullness of who he was, that full divine nature that he is. But what do they see? What do their hearts conjure up? It's not a glimpse of God that these disciples think they're seeing. No, they begin to scream out in fear, in terror, "It's a ghost! It's a ghost! Here it comes!" The gift that Jesus intended to give, shredded like a bedsheet left out in the wind. He stops. He wanted to pass by to give them a glimpse of that fullness of God that he is. But they couldn't handle it. Their hearts, their eyes, their minds were shaped and molded by fear. They saw terror. They saw ghosts. And yet Jesus, fully divine, stops. He looks at those disciples and he says, "Take heart, I am. Don't be afraid." And then he gets into the boat. The wind stops. Are we better off than those disciples today? I mean, oftentimes I'll read these stories, and we have the privilege of seeing the whole sweep of the story. And sometimes we'll look and we'll think, "Wait, really? You thought it was a ghost? How could you not know that was Jesus?" But does your heart not often fill with illusions? Does your heart grasp after false hopes? Does your mind fill with fear, then frenzy, then more fear on top of it? If so, then at the end of that path, you have seen nothing but phantasm, a ghost, false things. Now Jesus, he could see. He could see. He would disappear up into those mountains to be with his Father. And there, he would see what was real. He would experience what was fully true and real. And then when he would descend from those mountains, those moments of solitude, of prayer, of conversation with God, he would continue to see what was real. Instead of fear, he would see an opportunity for compassion. Instead of lack, like for example in the story of the feeding of 5,000, he would see opportunity to care, to love, to provide. And instead of clamoring and shoving and trying to climb his way to the top to be the most powerful, Jesus would so often point out the lowly and how treasured they are in the eyes of God. Jesus was filled with this reality, with this faith, by the time he spent with God. His eyes, his mind, and his heart were expectant and formed. He knew what to expect. So how necessary is it for you and for me to place our hearts, our minds, even our eyes before the very words of God, so that we too might be shaped, formed, to not be domineered by fear, but to see what is real, to expect God in motion. For we understand that faith comes from hearing the word of God. And as we continue to be immersed in our times away with our Heavenly Father, the Spirit will form you. Your hearts and your lives will be shaped by those words, by those prayers. And as you keep company with this Jesus, you will see him speak to the phantoms, to the ghosts, to the false things. For what is false cannot abide by what is true, or close to what is true. Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, will look those phantoms in the eye. Whatever it is that plagues your heart, he will look at it and he will say, "Be gone, be silent, you are not real." And to you, beloved children of God, he will look you in the eyes and he will say, "Take heart. I am. Don't be afraid." To this word, we have only one word to respond with. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses anything that we can fully grasp or understand, guard your hearts and keep you in the true faith, a trust in Jesus Christ, who will continue to chase away what fears you have. Amen.